So we're on the top of Chav Beis Amud Aleph. The new Mishnah tells us Hasukah Hamiduv Lelas. So the Gemara tells us what that means. Vishitzilsim Ruba Michamsa Ksher.
If it's
Chav Beis Amud Aleph, very top line. Sukah Hamiduv Lelas, where we'll define. And a Shitzilsim Ruba Michamsa Ksher. And if the sukkah has more shade than sunlight, it's going to be a kosher sukkah. Says the Gemara. And again, the Mishnah in the beginning, Rashi already alludes to the fact that the Mishnah in Beis Amud Aleph tells us anything that has more shade, more sunlight than shade is possible. This said anything that has more shade than sunlight is kosher. It's the opposite. It seems to have the same implications. The Gemara on the Amud Beis is going to address this. And then Hamu'uva, if it's a very thick schach, kimin bias, it's so thick it's like a house. Even though you can't see the stars from above, it's still kosher. No one ever says anything. Most people say, you have to be able to see the stars through the little cracks of the schach. That's not true. The Mishnah tells us, it doesn't sound like it's bidyavid only. Kshera is a lashon of bidyavid, you're right. But there's no indication that should be a psul. So any thickness, even if you can't see the stars, it's still going to be considered a kosher schach. So the Gemara says, "My miduv lelas." What does this word miduv lelas mean? So Amarav a sukkah aniya, a sukkah, literally a poor sukkah, which Rashi tells us means aniya ishiyesh b'schacha kanimat, very little reeds, v'yesh ba'avir harbe, a lot of airspace. Elish ein b'shlosha biyachin. It's in such a way where there's not in one area three tefachim of airspace alone, because if there were three tefachim, it would be a pasul schach. So everything is only 2.9. But you add all of it up, there's a lot more airspace than schach. That's what it's talking about. That's a kosher schach. That's called miduv lelas. It's a sukkah aniya, according to Rav. Ushmul Amar, is there a picture of it?
Yeah but it seems to me that it's a much more expensive sukkah than a regular.
The things above it, though? That's according to Shmuel. There should be a page before that. Go to the page before that. There should be another one.
No.
Okay, so I guess Rav, they consider it to be self-understood. Okay, so it's, again, very small amount of, little amount of wood, and there's more airspace than wood, but each airspace is less than three, so that is a kosher sukkah.
Even though it's chamata
meruva mitzudata. Right, no. So the Gemara will explain, address that point. I think. And Shmuel Amar Kana Olev Kana Yored. The Shmuel says it's a case where that the picture you had, where there's an upper level schach and there's a lower level schach, where each one individually has less schach, but they're just separate from each other. So before we get to Rashi, let's just read the Gemara a little bit, a few more lines. So the Gemara says, Rav Tani Chada, Ushmuel Tani Tarte. In our Mishnah, Rav thought it was one case. The case of Meduv Lelas and Shetzilsim Ruba Mechamsa is really one case. It's not two cases. It's one. And Shmuel thought there are two. What does that mean? My Meduv Lelas, Mivul Velas, Vitarti Katani, says Shmuel, Sukkah Mivul Velas, where it's mixed together, like Bavel, Lashem Mivul Velas, is to mix together. Some up and some is down. My Meduv Lelas, Mivul Velas, Vitarti Katani, Sukkah Mivul Velas, Kshera. If it is mixed together, it's kosher. If it's some ruba mechamta kosher, and if it's more shade, another case. If there's more shade than sunlight, that's kosher as well. As opposed to Rav would read it as one. A miduvlela sukkah is only good if there's still some ruba mechamta. To answer your question,
there's two items that the sukkah has to be kosher. Has to be it's medul delet and that the shetzilat ruba mechamta.
No, according to Shmuel, according to Rav, that's the case. Rav, it's one. There's one case. The Mishnah. Mivduv lelas, and it's where a case where there's still some ruba chamsa. Because you ask, if there's such little amount of bamboo on top and more airspace, isn't that going to be created more? Right. It's more chamsa mi tzilsa. It's puzzle. So Rav says, no, the Mishnah is one case. It's sukkah mivduv lelas, whereby there is more tzilsa mi chamsa. That's one case,
that's
according to Rav.
Yeah.
But Shmuel says it's two different cases.
Right.
Mivduv lelas is one case where there's on the top and there's on the bottom. It adds up to more tzilsa. And the second case is when there's more tzilsa, forget the meduv lelas, just in general, you need more shade than sunlight. So that Gemara is going to ask that question. The Beis Amud Aleph says, Mishnah says, if there's more shade, more sunlight than shade, it's pasul. This says there's more shade than sunlight, it's kosher. Seems to be the same, just the opposite case. opposite sides of the same coin. The Gemara later on will address this. And if you look at Rashi, what's the svara of Kana Ola of Kana Yorid? Actually, let's just read a few more lines before I do that. I'm sorry. Three more lines. Amar Abaye. Lo shanu ela she'en bazeh lezeh shlosh tzvachim. This is only true, this case of Shmuel, Rashi says. The case of Shmuel, that's Kana Ola of Kana Yorid, is only kshera when there's she'en bain zeh lezeh shlosh tzvachim. When there's less than three tzvachim in between the each level. If you look in the picture, right. Right, so Shmuel, there's an upper level and there's a lower level. It has to be exact. 2.9 tefachim has to be the distance between the two. Then we can view them as being together. Aval, yesh bein zeh lezeh, gimel tefachim psula. But if there's a distance of three tefachim between the upper level schach and the lower level schach, that's going to be possible according to Shmuel. So before we go weiter, look at Rashi for a moment. Look at Rashi a little higher up. Kana ola v'kana yored. Says Rashi, "Shelo hishva schach lahashkiv hakarim ze etzel ze." It's not equal. It's not the same level. El echel amal ve'echel lamata, like we said in the picture. Mitoch kach, because of this, chamsa meruba mesilsa. Because they're separate from each other, it's going to create more sunlight than shade. Vashmi'ina and masnisin daminam kol she'ila hayu misachin b'shave hayisat silsa meruba mechamsa k'shera. So Rashi is saying something fascinating here. Remember back to Rashi in the I didn't stress this point. Back in the beginning of the Sech, the Rashi was always emphasizing the Schach, not the walls. Now, when you emphasize the Schach, you could still take that in two directions. Either you could emphasize the shade that the Schach produces,
or the amount of shade that or the whole Sukkah.
No, or the Schach itself, the actual physical Schach, not the shade, but the Schach.
Right.
Rashi telling us it's not about the shade that's generated from the Schach, it's about the actual Schach. So he says, even though the Maisa, when the Schachs are separate from each other, it doesn't produce more shade. But if you view them together, if they were together, the line it would create, that's enough. So if it's less than three tefachim because of lavud, you could view them as being connected, even though they're not. And if they were to be connected, they would generate more shade.
But even in such a case, that's in regards to the sun, I would assume, I don't know, I didn't check it out, but it would seem because you still have, if you connect them together, you'll have a situation where they'll line up. But now they are up and down. In regards to the sunlight, I think if that's such a situation, you'll have more shade than sunlight.
Makes sense because
with the angle, you know?
Right. The Gemara will adjust angles a little bit later, but I imagine you could create a case, Rashi wouldn't make it up otherwise, but I imagine you could create a case where they'd be separate 2.9 tefachim, but somehow there'd be more sunlight than shade.
But according to what we learned on Yutes Amud Aleph, where it says, Rabbi Amar, Rama, meaning that there was an area where there was chamata meruba mitzilata. But there the Gemara explains that we take like the whole sukkah as a whole, not like Rashi, that we look at the amount of shade that there is in the sukkah total, you know?
No, we do, you're right. So what's the question? So here
Rashi is really, if you look at this chach, then this area should actually be possible.
No, so that's Rashi's chiddush. Rashi telling us it doesn't depend on how much actual shade and sun there is. It depends on what is able to be done. It's a chiddush.
What do you mean? What it's a, right, what, how much it projects to the floor.
Right, but even though the Maisa, when there's, well, no, it's not really about that. The idea for Rashi is the amount of shade that is projected.
Yes.
It's really a simon to how much schach there is. It's all about the schach.
Right.
How do you know how much schach? You can either look at the schach or you can look at the floor.
Right.
But when the schach is separate from each other, the two levels, then you can't really test it from the shade because they start playing with each other. The fact that they're separate, the sun is not really exactly a good test anymore. So then you say, you have to try to imagine, if they're 2.9 tefachim apart, you could view them as being close together. And if they were on the same level,
then they're sealed.
Then there would be more shade than schach. So that tells us there's enough schach on their ceiling. The shade itself is not the ikker part.
I understand.
The shade just tells us what's ikker. So as long as you could view them in such a way,
only in a reference of a schach that's higher than the other one, not that it's more separate than the other.
Correct. Then you can't test the shade anymore. Okay. Then you could do this ilu if you're able to view that.
Right.
Okay. Tosa argues on this. Tosa has a slightly different approach, and the Ritva also argues, but let's leave it at that. So, Baiter in the Gemara. So Amar Rava. Amar Rava. Rava says, Afilu yeshba bein zeh lezeh shlosh tefachim nami. If you could allow the separation between the two to have more than three tefachim, and still it could be a kasher schach if they're three tefachim apart. Why? Lo amrin el she'en bagago tefach. It's only allow this to work according to Shmuel if the gag has a tefach wide. Each beam is a tefach wide. Aval yesh bagago tefach shera. But if there is more than a gag, I'm sorry. We only say this again. Lo amrin el she'en bagago tefach. Aval yesh bagago tefach k'sheira damrin chavet rami. Oh, that's what we're talking about. If there's three tefachim or more, so it's only possible now. It's only possible if it's more than three tefachim if there's less than a tefach of each one, less than a tefach. But if each beam is a tefach wide, even if it's three tefachim apart from each other, you would say the concept which Rashi, with the Gemara says, chavet rami. Chavet rami, Rashi explains to us, is the same thing as gudasuk and gudachnas, where we say a wall could go all the way up or all the way down. The same thing we could say a schach could go all the way down. So let's look at that Rashi, she'en bagago. Rashi, she'en bagago, b'kanah ola rachav tefach. If there's not, each reed is not a tefach wide, the lav she'en ola aleha. It's not considered an ol. Lach shuvei ulamei marbe chavet rami, to consider it rami, chavet rami, which would tells us Hishpil v'ashlech osa al habish atachtav, which the klal is, allows us to take the schach and view it as going all the way down. Dehainu nami inan gurachis, the same concept with gurachis, where we could view a wall as going up or going down. When it comes to a wall where it's very narrow, you use the lashon gurachis. Mashach osa v'hori, that narrow wall goes all the way down or all the way up. With inan hamutal rocha, but something that has width to it, like the schach, ubalistum aver, and to close up a seal airspace, shach neimer chavta. We call chavta. The whole schach comes down. When it comes to a wall, it's gudachis. When it comes to a ceiling, it's called chavit rami.
So, what's the exact concept that we say that it must be a tefach?
If it's a tefach wide,
each plank. There is no more than three tefachim.
No, even if there's more, if it's less than three tefachim, you have the concept of level.
No, I'm saying between the planks, not height on this on the same level.
We're talking about right now the height in between.
No, but I know, but now I'm not talking about. I'm talking, let's say, there has to be one tefach and minimum of three tefachim between that and the next plank.
It probably has to be less than three tefachim because
2.9.
Because you have to have the level next to each other.
Right, so
but vertically. Vertically, you can allow as much
more,
as you want.
Right. So the question is, why do we need tefach? And under what reason?
Because you need, for a chavit rami to work, this thing to come all the way down, you need an ohel to start with. Once you have an ohel, which is defined by a tefach.
Ohel from a point of view of tumah.
Yeah, in general, let's say tumah, okay, Shabbos
and,
even.
And then what? So, okay.
So once you have an ohel, which is a tefach, then you could apply chavit rami, which tells me I could take that sukkah and make it go the whole way down, the whole width of the plank.
So we take each plank as a separate ohel.
Correct.
That's how we can do it.
Correct.
So that's the pshat. The pshat is that you cannot take the schach as a whole one. That's why you can combine it, because you're taking each plank as a separate unit, as a separate entity.
Well, you have to take what you take each
because
one
if not, you could have half a tefach and then love with another half a tefach and you should have enough.
Interesting question. What you're saying, can you take half a tefach of a plank, 2.9 tefachim, and then half a tefach,
right.
Could that combine
so
to one ohel?
So the whole shot that it's taking a tefach is because it's probably taking each plank as an ohel and lowering it.
It is. In regards to your question, I'm not sure the answer.
Okay, because right. I think the whole chiddush is that since it's so high, each one itself probably goes down as a normal.
Yeah, I'm not sure in terms of the space in between, but it's a good question. So that's a chiddush. Rava, we say Amrinan Chavit Rami. The whole plane can be viewed as going down, and then they all match up with each other. Even if it's three tefachim apart, as long as each plank is a tefach wide, which is an ol, we can allow the plank to be viewed going the whole way down. So I'm a rabbi, yeah?
Can the schach be sealed totally?
The schach, well, the Gemara is going to address that later on, if you have to be able to see some rays of sunlight have to come through. So I'm a rabbi. Minah minala, how do I know this? Dechi is be tefach amirin chavit rami. That if the plank is a tefach wide, you say chavit rami, you view the plank as going the whole way down. Dechi lespe. Lo amrin chavit rami, but when there is not a tefach wide, we don't apply chavit rami. How do I know this? That tefach is what's the prerequisite for applying chavit rami. Ditzna, and the Mishnah tells us in Olos. Koros habayis, if there are beams of the house, v'ha'aliyah, and then there's the attic, the second floor, Shena Lem Maziva, and there's not a, it's not sealed off. Remember we spoke about the Maziva and that Mishnah before, none of that cement. You just have beams, but no no roofing. Mehein Mechavonos, Mechavnos.
Nisarim is one?
Which, Nisarim, where do you see Nisarim? Nisarim are like boards.
Boards.
I guess maybe that's what the English tells you what it is. Koros are beams, koros. So you have beams.
Is it Nisarim?
Koros habayit, hakoma tachtona, vekorot haliya.
No, but I looked at the Hara, and it says Nisarim. 16. והמשנה מזכירה כשאין עליהם טיט, משום שבדרך כלל כשאין טיט, אין נסרים.
And I guess they put no, I guess if there's no cement, they're not putting boards on top of that.
So boards
completely open. So you have koros, you have beams of the lower house, you have beams of the upper house, so all the framing's in, but no boards yet. And they're completely aligned with each other. The lower beams are aligned with the top beams. Right? There must be pictures, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, nice pictures here. Okay, so everything's aligned. The beams on the bottom, the beams on top are all aligned with each other. And then the Mishnah continues and says, Tuma tachas achas mehen. Let's say there's Tuma underneath one of the beams. Tachdeh tamei, underneath that beam is tamei. Bein ha-tachtona la'aliyah, sorry, bein ha-tachtona la'aliyona. If let's say Tuma is on the second floor between the two beams now, beinayim tamei, in that area between the two boards, between the two beams rather, is tamei. Gabe Helion, if it's on top of the top beam, connect that to the Rakia Tame. Anything above it up to the Rakia is considered Tame. Right, okay, we're good, because if it's below any of the beams, that beam serves as a Tefa, serves as a Ohel.
So we're saying that if it's on the bottom,
only underneath it is Tame.
Tachat the Haim, Tachat Tachtona, Tachtea Tame al Kol Archa, okay.
Only right below is Tame. If it's between the two beams in the center,
okay, which is.
Only that area between is going to be Tame. And if it's above the top beam, only above Al-Zirqi is going to be Tame, but not below. Because each beam serves as a Ohel. Right, then the Mishnah continues and says.
When it says Benim Tame, meaning that like at the second floor is
correct,
Tame.
Correct, exactly.
Okay.
Because each beam is serving as an Ohel to protect it from going up and protect it from going down. Now let's say, the Mishnah continues and says, Hayuhel Yonos. Let's say they are not aligned, and each airspace of the bottom ones are filled with the ones above it. Right, they're skipping. So let's see the picture for that one.
So, al gabi akora eliona kenegda. What's tamei? I don't understand. If it's only in the top, what's tamei? There's
only
no
if open. Anything above it. If an airplane flies by,
that's
what it means.
Okay.
So, Now, the next case in the Mishnah is, let's say they are not aligned with each other, but the bottom airspace, wherever the airspace, the bottom, is the, right above it is where the top beams are going. It's like 4 and 3 in the picture. You have 4 beams on the bottom and 3 beams on the top, and the beams on the top are filling in the airspace on the bottom.
You have such a picture?
Yeah. You don't have it? No, turn the page. There you go.
Yeah.
So then the Gemara Mishnah says, what's the lach in this case? Then Tuma Tachden, if Tame is Tuma's and under any of these boards and under these under any of these beams, Tachas Kulam Tame, all of them are Tame because now they're pretty much aligned with each other. Even though it's not a flat flat roof, it's basically every airspace has some type of beam above it. So the whole thing will be viewed as one continuous Ohel, even though it's physically not. We view it as that like that. Now. If they're agaben, if the tumah's on top of any of the boards, then connect an al-rakia tame. Then above, up to the rakia, if an airplane flies by, that's going to become tame, but not below. Now, this is the Mishnah. We haven't gotten to the point yet. We're trying to look for a source that tefach is how you're going to apply the din of chavit rami.
One second. So basically, we're saying here that if there's something tame under one of the koros, even the stuff that's under the empty space, but it's on the covered space on the top, it's still tame.
Correct.
Because it becomes one.
Exactly.
One oval.
Right.
And it doesn't say how much, it doesn't say that there's no limit on distance.
Right. Now that's where the Bryce is going to come and explain the details. So, V'tani Allah, and there's a Bryce that comments on this very Mishnah, Bamed V'mamurim, when is this talking about? When we say it applies that we view the entire, all the beams as being uniform, b'zman sheyesh behen tefach u'boneim b'neim pesach posach tefach. When each beam, each board rather, is a tefach, and in between is a tefach as well. Aval ein b'neim posach tefach. But if there's not a tefach in between the boards, tuma tachas achas mem tachde tamei b'neim agabem tar. There's less than a tefach in between than not. So again, let's say the bottom boards. If each of the bottom boards are tefach wide, and there's a tefach space in between, that means the boards above are also tefach wide. If each of the boards in the bottom or beams in the bottom are less than a tefach, and the space are also less than a tefach, that means the boards above are also less than a tefach. So if it's less than a tefach in the second case here, and if tumah is underneath one of the beams, we don't apply the whole thing. Only if each of the beams are tefach wide, we view the thing as being uniform, even though it's really not. We could view it as being uniform because they say chavit rami. Because if it's a tefach wide, we could view the boards, the beams, they're all coming down and being a flat roof and being an ohel. Alma, we see from all this, from this mission, this brisa, on this mission olos, ki is be tefach, when there's a tefach, amrina chavit rami. We say chavit rami, we view the plank or the beams as coming down. Ki les be tefach, when there's not a tefach, lo amrina chavit rami, shema mina. This is what we learn from this. Yosef Rav Kana.
Why do you mean chavir rami in this case? I don't know, because let's say you had beams that alternate one here, one here, one here, one here,
mm-hmm.
and you have something on the bottom underneath. That chavir rami, we wouldn't say that the entire area is considered to be one location.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I have a different question.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, let's say you have one tefach, one tefach, one tefach, one tefach. You don't even need the top ceiling. You already have lavut, and that will be a nohel by itself.
Now, if you remember, remember that case of the nice picture we had of the house with the little hole, the window?
Yes.
If it's a tefach by tefach, and we had the...
If it's tefach by tefach,
it goes right through.
It's a kula midoraisa, right?
In terms of on tumah, the tumah is right below the window, which tefach by tefach, it goes right up.
Right,
and doesn't affect the rest. Even though it's love,
we don't say love within tumah. That's what we learned.
I think so.
Right, we don't use love. Right, that was. Yeah. That we don't say love with for tumah.
Right.
Okay. Wow, look at beautiful stuff.
Ah, nice. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Yosef Rav Kana. Rav Kana was sitting down with Kamar Lahashmais. He was learning the sugya. Amalei Rav Ashi, the Rav Kana. Rav Ashi turns to Rav Kana and says, "Mechol heicha de les betefach lo amrinu chavit rami." Is it really true? With an ol that's less than a tefach, we do not say chavit rami. Is that really true? V'hatane, doesn't the Brisa teach us in the Hilchos Eirvin? Kora hayotza mikosa zeh. So in the end of a mavoi, you have one of these alleyways. You need a beam to permit walking in the alleyway. So, a kor yotzi mikol sozeh, ve'eno no gas mikol sozeh. You have a beam that comes out from one of the walls, one side of the alleyway, but it doesn't touch the other side. V'chein, or another case, shtei koros, you have two beams coming out from each end. Achas yotzi mikol sozeh, ve'achas yotzi mikol sozeh, coming from each wall. Ve'eno no gas zubazu, and they're not touching each other. There's a little space in between. What's the halacha? The beam has to close off the entire area before passing underneath the mavoi. So pachus mishlosh, if there's less than three tefachim between the two beams or between the beam and the wall, ein tzarach lavi kor acharis, you don't need to fill it in the gap because you love it. If shlosh, if there's three or more tefachim, then tzarach lavi kor acharis, you have to fill in that area with another beam. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, pachus me arba, if there's less than four tefachim, ein tzarach lavi kor acharis, you don't need to. He lasts four tefachim because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel held. A four tefachim is considered a rishus in its own right. It's considered a makum chashuv. So if it's less than four tefachim, we tolerate that much space. But if there's four or more tefachim, tzarach l'havi kor acharis, then you would need to bring another beam to fill in that space. V'chein shnei koros hamatimis lo, you have two beams that are parallel with each other, next to each other, going across the hallway. V'lo b'zeh kedei l'kabla ariach, v'lo b'zeh kedei l'kabla ariach. Each one is too thin. To have a korah that's significant, it has to be strong enough to hold a brick. But each one is very thin. So you have them next to each other, running a line next to each other. If im mekablus ariach l'rachvo tefach, ein tzarach lavi korah acheres. If you were to line them up with each other, and they could hold a beam together, if they're a tefach wide, then you do not need to bring another korah. If the distance between the two of them is less than a tefach, you could view them as being the same. But if there's more than that, if it's lav, if it doesn't have a tefach, less than a tefach, then sarach lavi korachas, you have to bring another korah. So, wait, is that talking about distance between tefach or distance between tefachim? Let's see 1 second here.
What is lekabel ariyah?
They're just next to each other. The first guy, either way, mamash touching each other. If the total, if the width of them together is a tefach, tefach is the shear, the width of a how wide a korah has to be. Then it's good, even though they're two separate beams, but they're connected, we can view them as one. If it's not a tefach wide, then it's not. You need to bring another korah to widen the distance. Then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel goes further and says, Omer im mikablas ariach l'arko shlosh etvachim ein tzarach labi korach eres. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the first case was they had the if they're parallel they have to mamash be touching each other. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel allows you to separate the two of them up until 3 tefachim. 2.9 tefachim is as much you could separate them, and you could view them as being connected. But vimlav, if the beams are not strong enough together, tzarach lavi korach eres. Then you have to bring another beam to put it in the middle. Hold on, this is a little confusing here.
He's allowing them to be more further apart from one another, as long as they're strong enough to hold a brick through tefachim.
Uh-huh.
Even though they don't have a tefach between the two of them.
He allows for less than a tefach, but as long as it's less than three tefachim, as long as it can be strong enough.
There's a picture here.
Right. So Tanakama felt that...
After the picture of the bricks. Yeah, the picture of the bricks are on the next page.
Here, oh.
The one after the bricks.
Okay, I see. So, while according to Tanakama held that the beams had to be a total of a tefach together, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said they didn't have to be a total of a tefach. It could be less than a tefach together, but it has to be strong enough to hold a brick, and it has to be within three tefachim of each other. That's the opinion of Rashbag. Then he says, v'im lav, if not, then tzarach lav yikor achas, if it can't meet those requirements, so then you have to bring another korah to fill in the holes. And let's say all these different halachas regarding these koros. Let's say you have one beam higher up and one beam lower down.
Not here.
Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, Rohan Hel Yona, this is what we need now, I think. Rohan Hel Yona Kilohi Lamata. We view the above beam as being lower down. Vesatachtona Kilohi Lamata, and the lower one as being brought up. As long, meaning they're going to be viewed on the same plane. Ubilvad, as long as Shiloh. The top one cannot be higher than 20 amos. Once it's higher than 20 amos, it's disqualified because the korah, just like a schach, has to be lower than 20 amos. There are three halachas that have to be lower than 20 amos. Schach, korah, and Chanukah candle. Has to be lower than 20 amos. And the lower one, as long as the lower one is within three tefachim of the upper one. Inami, or the lower one can't be... I skipped a line? Okay, let's go back up. Okay. Let's try this again. Let's go from Yossi Bar Yehuda again. Omer. Rohan hel yona kilohi lamata vesatachtona kilohi lamala. Ubilvad shlote hel yona lamala me'esrim amma. As long as the top one is not above 20 amos. Vatachtona, there you go. Lamata me'esar. And the lower one can't be lower than 10 tvachim. Because lower than 10 tvachim, it's nothing. Higher than 20 amos is nothing either. Both of them have to be within 10 tvachim and 20 amos.
No matter what's the distance between them.
Right. Well, right now, at least not right. If they're both within 20 amos, we say chavit rami. Even though the distance might be very far apart from each other, we say chavit rami. We allow the beams to be viewed as being up or being down. We view them as being the same plane. Even though there's not a tefach, these beams that we're talking about could be less than a tefach. So we said before the only time you apply chavit rami, meaning where you can move the planks up and down, is when there's a tefach. And when it's not a tefach, you don't say that. But this case of the Karos, we're assuming right now it's where there is a tefach, where there's not a tefach, yet we still apply the din of Chavar Rami. So Amar Leh, the Gemara responds, Tarit Tveim HaHachi, say as follows. U'bilvad shlo tehel yona limal me'esrim, el besoch esrim. As long as the bottom one, the top one, is below 20 amos, v'atachtonis smuchala pachum shlosha, and the bottom one has to be within three tefachim of the upper one. And when it's within three tefachim, then we don't apply Chavar Rami. And it doesn't have to be a tefach wide. The only time you require a tefach wide is when you're saying Chavar Rami. And the only time you apply Chavar Rami is if it's more than three tefachim apart. But if it's within three tefachim of it, we apply the din alavim. So this case is, you're right, it's less than a tefach wide, the beam. But since it's within three tefachim, as the Gemara is qualifying it, you don't need the din of Chavar Rami. Inami, alternatively, you could suggest, bilvad shelo tei tachlon lamata me'asara, as long as the bottom beam is not under 10 tefachim, el limal me'asara has to be higher than 10 tefachim, vel yonas mukhala, and the upper one has to be next to the lower one, pipachos mishlosha has to be within three. Aval shlosha, but if it's three tefachim apart, the upper beam and the lower beam, came to less beit tefach, lo amrin and Chavar Rami. If it's not a tefach, we can't apply Chavar Rami, it will not be good pair of karos for the dinim of mavoi.
So here he's saying that to apply Chavar Rami, it has to be less than three tefachim?
No. To apply Chavar Rami, it can be as much as you want, but the ohel, the beam has to be at least tefach wide. If it's less than three tefachim apart, you don't need Chavar Rami. If you don't need Chavar Rami, each beam could be less than tefach. You only need a tefach wide for Chavar Rami.
Right.
Chavar Rami is only needed when they're three tefachim apart.
When there are more than three tefachim
right.
apart. So if it's less than three tefachim apart, each one...
You don't need Chavar Rami then.
Right.
You have Lavid.
Yeah.
And once you don't need Chavar Rami, you don't need the beams to be a tefach wide either.
In the case of...
He's turning back pages. Oh, it's only one page.
No,
okay.
Just in the case of Toma that we saw before, where we said Chavar Rami.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like we were saying it where the beam was a tefach wide, that's mm-hmm. right, and they were within one tefach of one another, not greater than three tefachim.
Now, I thought the b'neim tefach there meant that between horizontally, there was a space of tefach in between, but not talking about the distance between the height between the two. I thought that was just the horizontal distance.
The height is much more than three tefachim.
Yeah.
It doesn't speak out specifically that piece of it. But it only makes sense like what you're saying, that there was a height differential.
I'm scanning Rashi right now to see where he speaks this out, but... Yeah, but I thought that was Pashut. I think it's a Rashi says. It's a long Rashi here. But I think that's what's going on. Now the Gemara continues. This next piece of, yeah.
One second. So here, Ravashi's asking from Rava that you said that Chavar Rami applies
only when there's a tefach.
Rabbi Shomer shebechol makom ve'lo rak betuma omrim Chavar Rami v'kora harchava pachot letefach. Right?
If it's less than a tefach, we do not apply Chavar Rami. If it's less than tefach, then we can't apply Chavar Rami.
You cannot.
And this whole brice we just brought.
It seems that you can, and so he's saying no. He's saying the answer is that they were within three tefachim, and therefore we apply lavud, but it doesn't teach us anything about chavud rami.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, the next piece of Gemara is very important for understanding the nature of stuff,
and that's how we hold.
That's how we hold. I think
we
so.
We hold
yeah.
that to apply chavud rami, it has to be a tefach.
I would think so. That's the impression from this Gemara.
Okay.
I can't know. I don't know for sure. I'm not holding this stuff. Now, this next piece of Gemara here is very important for understanding the nature of schach and tzel and the shade I mentioned before. How much is the dinim of this schach itself? And the shade is simply a simon of how much schach there is. Where really the important part is how much shade is on the ground. Machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, we'll see in this next Gemara. Says the Gemara, Shitzil Samruba Mechamsa Ksher. If there's more shade than sunlight, it's a good schach. Vishitzil, Gemara says, Ha ki hadadai. Sula, but if there's exactly the same amount of shade as there is sunlight, that would be possible. That's the implication of this Mishnah. However, Vahotanan, Beidach Pirkin, in the other parak, namely the first Mishnah of the Masechta, it says, Vishacham Samruba Mitzilsa. If there's more sunlight than shade, Sula, that's possible. Implication is, Ha ki hadadai Ksher. But if they're exactly the same, you would infer that they are would be kosher.
Why are you applying for that?
Because it says only equal, it's going to be kosher.
Why? What does it say?
That's a simple reading.
The Gemara always
It's the opposite, if it's itself more.
No. Only when there's more sunlight is it possible. When there's not more sunlight, meaning if it's equal, that would be kosher.
Oh, I hear you.
The Gemara always asks this question. It's always like that. If it says more, then it's equal, it's always the other way.
That's a rule?
That's a rule.
Uh-huh.
In general, if you see that this question comes up always again.
I wasn't that you.
This is very medactic of the Tzlashon.
Right.
So what it said, if it's equal, it's possible. Why did it say, Dachgav Techama is more?
If it's equal, it's possible?
No. The fact that it doesn't say that.
Would have wanted to tell you that.
But you have to know that this question always comes up in the Gemara whenever there is something like this. They're always very medactic in the Tzlashon.
So therefore, the Mishnah here implies one thing, the opposite of what the Mishnah in the Beis Amud Aleph implies. So what's the when
what
exactly?
Again,
the mission I'm not base. I'm not here. The mission here first says when there's more sunlight than shade, more shade than sunlight, it's kosher, implying if it's equal,
it's kosher.
It's kosher.
Okay.
Our Mishnah says in base I'm an aleph. The first one says if there's more sunlight than shade, it's pasul. If they're equal, it sounds like it's going to be kosher then.
So it's like a contradiction.
One mission implies if they're equal, it's kosher. One mission implies if they're equal, it's pasul.
If there is more sunlight than shade, it's pasul. That means that if the same, it would be the other hand. If it says only if there is more shade than sunlight,
it's kosher.
Then if it's equal, it would be pasul.
So now it's a contradiction.
So it's a contradiction from that deal.
I understand.
So Gemara says, how do we reconcile this contradiction of these two Mishnayos, at least the implications of the two Mishnayos? Says the Gemara, lo kasha. Kan milamala, kan milamata. One from the perspective from looking above, one the perspective of looking below. What does that mean? So if you look at Rashi says, kan milamala, kan milamata. Ha detaikinan ki adade psula. That which we were medaktik, or medaik, that it's when they're equal, it's pasul. Limalka, that's referring to the above, meaning Kishiyesh bein kana lakana kimali kana, when between each beam there is a space of an equal beam, afil mutum sum psula. There's exactly on schach, exactly the same amount of beams as there is airspace. If it's exact, that's pasul. Why? The fisha chamas ha'avir nearest baritz rachva harbe minat seil shel schach. Because when the sun comes in, the sun spreads, the rays spread, and look at the bottom, there's going to be more sun than shade.
So is this the shade is a simon or the shade is a golem?
That was the question I'm pointing out. So according to Rashi right now, well, let's just continue to see what he says. When we say it's equal, we're talking about the bottom on the floor, shecham of itzel shavim. When the bottom, the shade and sun are equal, that tells us certainly that there's more beams than the airspace on top. Because if you look at the pictures, it shows how when the sun comes in, the sun separates. So if they're equal on top from the mamala, that's why it's possible, because on the bottom it's going to be more sunlight. But the other cases we're referring to the bottom. When the bottom has equal amount, that's kosher, because the top is going to have more schach than there is not schach. So that's how Rashi understands this. That's obvious.
If you have more schach lemala, you have more shed lemata.
More schach lemata.
Lemala, you have more shade lemata.
Right.
Meaning that if you look at more shade lemata, meaning that there's more schach lemata.
Correct.
So what's...
No, the point, if there's equal amount on the floor, so that's going to be kosher, because that tells us that there's more schach above. But if there's more, if it's equal on top, it's going to be pasul.
If the schach on top is exactly the same, the result will be that when the sun shines and you look at the floor, it's going to look like this, where it seems that there is more sun than shade.
Yes.
The only way you can have the same amount of shade in the floor,
if you put more schach on top,
which is more than half, more than exactly the same amount. Here's a picture. You see?
Clearly. I see the picture. Right. Right. Yeah.
So we'll come back according to Rashi.
It's bigger.
According to Rashi, the schach, the ikar part of the schach is the amount of shade that's being generated. That's the ikar. It's about the tzel, not about the schach. Right. The schach is a simon to how much shade there is. You'll see Rabbeinu Tam in contrast to that in a second.
But I'm sorry, it's not according. It's according to one man de'amar and the other man de'amar. It's not according to Rashi or anybody.
Now, this is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. You'll see Rabbeinu Tam has a different understanding.
Okay. So according to Rashi, the pshat is that the floor is one thing and the schach is the other thing.
But it's all about the shade. How much we need shade. You cannot have more sunlight than shade on the floor.
Right.
It's all about that.
And what would say, and isn't that the pashat pshat?
So we'll read Rabbeinu Tam in a second. Let's just read two more lines of the Gemara. Amar Papa. This is what people would say. When there's a zuz above, it looks like an istara on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
Which Rashi tells you, what does that mean? When there's a hole, let's say, in the ceiling, the size of a zuz, the sun spreads, it looks like a much larger coin. That's the image. So the sunlight spreads from the top to the bottom. Rashi seems pretty simple. Look at Tosos Dibur Masko Kazuza. Jump down a few lines. It's five medium wide lines down. And Tosos, it says Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam towards the end of the line. Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, he says, Kan milamala, misha modeid ha'avir milamala, kiadadei ksheiro. If someone goes on to the roof of the schach and measures, goes up mamash on top, measures, and they seem to be exact the amount of schach to the airspace. It's ksheiro, the fish who omeid kipart, because there's an amount of, from the Gemara's and Ervin, there's Amud, which means the walls. In this case, there's the same amount of schach as there is breaches. That's kasher. Let's say you're standing down, baritz, on the ground. You're looking up at it. The dome kihadade, they look like they're the same. Psula, the fisha avir shurachov kizuza, dome be'enav katan ki istara machma shurachov mimenum. It looks smaller than it really is when standing above. It's about relativity. It looks like it's the same, but really it's much further. He's not talking about the shade and sunlight at all. To the perspective of the person, about the actual schach, how much schach there is. There needs to be at least equal schach, if not more.
Why would the perspective of a person seem that the opening is less than that the opening is really...
I don't know how much of the physics here, but in terms of, you know, just theory of relativity, or when you look far away, something looks smaller in general. Obviously, far away, an airplane looks tiny when, in fact, it's huge when it's so far away.
No, but if you have two airplanes, a black one and a white one,
right,
they're both going to look at this.
Correct.
Look at the same size, if they're the same distance.
So I guess apparently the airspace, basically the airspace goes further beyond.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, you look through, it looks further away, it makes the airspace look smaller than it really is, which I think is true. You ever look like looks like you can't see the sunlight above? It looks the walls are completely closed off. You don't see the airspace. At nighttime, though, you can see the airspace. I wonder if that has to do with anything.
Maybe.
I don't know. But somehow that's... But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's clearly focused on the actual physical, the structure
from where
of the
you're looking at it.
Not about the shade that's being generated. So that's the Machlokas Rash. So just in terms of the three basic perspectives on Sukkah now that we have them lined out, either you're going to say it's all about the tzeil. The schach is the ikker, but within the schach being the ikker is the actual physical schach of the ikker, like Rabbeinu Tam says. Or is it the schach that generates the tzel, which is Rashi, or the ra'ah, which is the enclosure of the schach plus the defunnels? That's the definition of the sukkah. Those are three basic approaches you have in Rishonim in terms of the definition of what a sukkah is. So when you learn like the first sugya, this gemara here in Rashi Tosos is very, very important. Okay, let's go a little further. Oh, we're doing good on time. The Gemara says, "Me'ove mu'uva kimin bias." The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah above that if the schach is so thick, like a house, it's kosher. Even though you can't even see the stars, it's still a kosher sukkah, said the Mishnah. Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa says, "Ha'mu'uva kimin bias, afa pishena kochavim niran mitocha kosher." Same thing like the Mishnah says. Even though you can't see the sun, the stars rather, it's a kosher sukkah. Ein kochve chamin niran, but if the sun of the star, which means, Rashi tells us, kochve chama, is kishachama zareches ala, when the sun shines, ve'ein zaharure chama niran mitocha, and the rays of sun is not coming through. Back to the Gemara now.
The radiance,
yeah, sure. Ein kochve chama niran mitocha, if the sunlight, the rays of sun cannot be seen, beishame poslin, ubeisil machshirim, even then beisil allows it. It could be so thick, where even the sun doesn't come through. That's a kasher sukkah according to Beis Hillel. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here. This next mishnah probably worth doing tomorrow because it continues on to next stuff. So I guess we'll stop here a little bit early.
Baruch Tia.